All right, welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. We're back. It's exciting. Sherry, we have a very special episode. If there is ever before, and maybe I'll say this again, maybe 10 times before it's all over. If there's ever a That's So Cincinnati episode, it's today. Special guest, Pete Rose. Nothing else need to be said. We've tried to get him for a long time. I think at one point we even teased it out. It didn't work out. We thought we had him.
We learned our lesson.
What was that, like 3 or 4 months ago? And here we are. We've got him today, I think.
I'm very excited.
Sherry, how are you? Jason Williams, Sherry Coolidge, Silent Film, the ones and twos. We're back after a nice week off. We don't want to spend a whole lot of time here before we jump to Pete Rose.
Was there even an election? Let's just talk about sports.
Let's just the heck with it. Pete Rose is such a great storyteller. You know, this is one of those things you turn the mic on and ask Pete Rose questions and he says what he says. Let's do it. Special guest time here on the That's So Cincinnati podcast. And in our almost 4 years of doing this, Sherry, I don't know if anyone personifies That's So Cincinnati other than our guest today, Pete Rose. Pete, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Of course, I live in Las Vegas, Nevada, where it's kind of overcast today with an unusual high of 70 degrees. But over the weekend, it's going up to 100. So I'm living a good life, and I feel good. I had COVID about 2.5-3 weeks ago.
Goodness.
I stayed home for 4 or 5 days in a row and took another test and tested negative. So I'm off and running.
How are you feeling? Are you feeling better?
I feel great. I mean, I just did what everyone said to do when you find out you have something like that, don't leave the house. I didn't leave my apartment for 5 days. And I probably had it a couple of days before I knew I had it. Because I just came back from a trip down in Houston. And you know what happens when you're on those airplanes and they're crowded? You have a better chance of catching something like that. Although I had my shots and my booster shot.
And that's why.
I still got it, so. That's the way it is.
Yeah, 81, right? I was doing some reading about you today, and that's pretty amazing. A quick recovery.
Don't be a smart ass now.
No, okay? I'm serious. Although, to be
fair, I am what I am. I mean, I can't change it. I wish I could say I'm 31. I could be playing for the Reds again. But time flies, and I've had a great life. I've had a lot of friends from Cincinnati. As you know, I went to Western Hills High School. I was born 3 miles from Crosley Field, where I broke in 1963, and, you know, 4 miles from downtown where Riverfront was and where Great American is now. And I'm going back, of course, you know, I'm going back for the 11th to the Hard Rock, and that'd be fun for me because anytime I can go back and just see old friends and meet some new friends in Cincinnati, it's a pleasure to do that.
Let's actually talk about that, because that's honestly what made me think I should call up and see if you'll be a podcast guest. It came through kind of in like a press release I saw. You have agreed to, I guess, I don't know, be the headliner of Pete Rose Roasting a Legend. It's June 11th at the Hard Rock Casino at 8 p.m. Yeah. And I think you're very brave for doing this because you're kind of in the hot seat.
Well, you know, I mean, what can any roaster say that hadn't already been said? And let me tell you one thing, and I've been roasted before. Guys who roast you have to understand one thing. And you'll understand this. I get the microphone last.
Uh-oh.
So, I don't know who the roastees are. Do you know? I know Marty's going to be there.
He'll Marty? Be I think he's kind of like emceeing it.
Do you need any more roasters than Marty?
No.
He's going to take care of a lot.
I love Marty. Marty's like a son of mine. You know, he's not old enough. So he's young enough.
Even though he's only, a couple years younger?
You know, Marty's one guy. He's like a brother, I guess you'd say. But Marty was the one guy that him and I and Joe would always go out on the road to eat. And I just become part of Marty's career and part of Marty's life. And I love Marty. And is George Foster going to be a roaster?
So those were the other two names on the list so far. George Foster is going to be a roaster, if that's what you call them.
I don't think George can spell roaster.
Yes, and Ken Griffey Jr.
Did you hear what I said? I don't think George can spell roaster.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, he should really look out.
And who else?
And Ken Griffey Jr.
Well, he's a junior or senior?
Oh, you know what? I wrote it's senior. I can't even read my own writing.
Yeah, it wouldn't be junior. I mean, I knew junior when he was 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Yeah. 7, 8 years
when he
old.
Was born.
Yeah.
But
oh my
the
gosh.
Other one, Ken Griffey Jr., was the guy that hit behind me for like 10 years or so. So I get along good with Griff. And I don't know if it's going to be a roast. Don't think you're going to a Hollywood roast, because those guys all are career comedians and career celebrities, and they do it all the time.
Not like a Comedy Central roast, is what you're saying?
Go ahead.
It's not like a Comedy Central roast?
Well, on the names you just mentioned, I can't imagine being that.
I don't know. Those are
those be
pretty
entertaining. Be
Cincinnati
entertaining
version, anyway.
You know what? We always do things George our own
and,
way.
Both George and Senior both know me pretty well.
So that's the best thing. They think they're going to tell stories.
Are they going to make fun of me gambling? I mean, with all the gambling going on today, they're going to make fun of me gambling, which is fine. They can say anything they want, but they just have to remember, I get to speak last.
I think you should warn them, too. I like that a lot.
And I'm pretty witty when it comes to talking about somebody. And I love all three of those guys. I can't imagine me getting up in front of a Cincinnati crowd and bad mouth to any one of those three guys.
You know, honestly,
but
anyone.
It's not serious. It's just to have fun, to entertain the people. Hard Rock, I did an appearance for them several months ago. They're a delightful bunch of people, and I'm happy to be able to do the roast at the Hard Rock.
So, and anyone can go. General admission tickets are $90. I mean, you can get like a VIP table for $2,000. That's like all these drinks and like 8 people, but really. And that's one of the great things about our casino is it's very accessible, right downtown, easy to get to. And for $90, I mean, we are talking about baseball legends. And those, I want to hear those kind of stories. Like,
yeah. Well, there's no question in my mind. Hard Rock does such a good job. They'll sell it out. And you can take my word for it. With the guys that you mentioned, they're going to be there. It'll be a fun evening for them. You know, what else you got to do now? We're just all getting over COVID now. We're starting to get on with our lives. And all we need now is the Reds to keep winning. They won 2 in a row now. So, you know, they got off to such a horrible start, which is not good for the Queen City at all. And I just hope they rebound.
I mean, I have to say. So
I mean, if it keeps going like it is right now, most of the people at the roast will be making fun of the Reds.
I mean, obviously, we've heard a lot of that. I think that's been just a really hard season. I mean, do you follow them closely? And like, do you follow them like game by game?
Yeah, they're getting ready to start at 3:40 my time. It's 3:40 right now. Sure, I was. I'm a Cincinnati Red fan.
I do have to say.
I want the Reds to lose. I want the Reds to win. I want the Reds to, because listen, all I do in my life is go around this beautiful country that we live in and talk positive about baseball and talk positive about Cincinnati baseball. Because I played with Cincinnati more than anybody else in the history of baseball. And I understand the game more than anybody else in the history of baseball since.
Do you?
We're talking about Cincinnati baseball. Who knows more about Cincinnati baseball than me?
I agree. So let's do this. So let's, if you could tell them 3 things to do right now, what would they be?
Talk about the Reds now?
Yes, I am. I mean, well, we have an expert. We have to ask.
I would try to get my pitching staff together. Who's going to do this and who's going to do that? But they got a couple really young pitchers. You have to be patient with young pitchers. I'm not one of those guys that expect the Reds, although they scored 10 runs yesterday, expect the Reds to score a lot of runs. Listen, when you take Castellanos out of your lineup, you take Winkler out of your lineup, you take Suarez out of your lineup, who was a shortstop who struck out a lot, but he still hit 42 home runs. When you take those three guys out of your lineup and you don't have great replacements to replace them with, you're going to suffer offensively. And I think the Reds have suffered offensively this year. And plus their pitchers, the bullpen hasn't been that reliable. And when you have lack of hitting and a bad bullpen, you're not going to win many baseball games in baseball today. But you got to give them a chance to develop. And I know people don't want to hear develop because they want action right now. You don't go to the game on Friday hoping that they develop for 3 months from now. You hope they win the game on Friday, not only because they want to win the game, because they get fireworks on Friday, too.
Which is what makes baseball different than any other sport, Pete.
The owner of the Reds is a great guy, okay? He's an older guy, so he's not involved with all the baseball decisions. But he does own the team. He does love the city of Cincinnati, even though his son made the statement, if you don't win, we'll move the team out of here. Hey, let me tell you one thing about baseball, okay? Baseball will never, never leave Cincinnati, Ohio. So anybody out there worried about the Reds moving the team because of the ownership, go back to sleep and wake up on the other side of the bed, because that's not going to happen.
So do you think, we're talking about Bob Castellini owning the team, obviously, do you think he went, I understand, rebuilding, and I read Bobby Nightingale and Charlie Goldsmith, our writers, and it's kind of like following a soap opera these days, to be honest. Do you think that Bob Castellini went too far in cutting back, so then there isn't these kind of people to sub into the lineup? Did we just go a little bit too far trying to do this?
Let me explain something to you, okay? And now we're talking about Senior, Bob Senior.
Yes.
Okay? Yeah. He's a great guy. He is a great guy. He is a great Cincinnatian. Okay? He's not interested at all in moving this team. He's not worried about money. He's got enough money to stack it up and a show dog can jump over it. Okay? So Mr. Castellini has been a good guy for the players and since he become owner of the team. He's not cheap. You know, ask Joey Votto if he's cheap. You know, he pays him $26, $27 million a year for many, many years. And that's the guy he had to sign. Now it's up to Joey to do his job. It's up to the other guys. Cincinnati fans, okay? I'm a Cincinnati fan. I do not want to hear the word develop. You know, we got a plan. We got a four-year plan. You can't tell your season ticket holders you have a 3 or 4 year plan. Because you know what they'll say? Okay, I'll see you in 3 or 4 years. Hmm. Let me know when you're ready to entertain me, and I'll come back to the ballpark.
I mean, I have to say, it is a gorgeous evening here in Cincinnati when we're recording, and I was driving down here, and I had a moment of panic because our building is downtown. And in years past, I never would have found a parking space anywhere. And I pulled up right in front of our building, which is just a couple blocks from the ballpark. That was kind of telling to me tonight.
Yeah, well, that's what a 3-22 start would do for you.
Yeah.
Hey, Pete.
Cincinnati fans are no different than any other city in this fans. They want to win. They want to be entertained. They're paying good bucks. We just got through COVID. We're still in a lot of areas. There's other things to do, as opposed to staying away from groups of people. And Cincinnati fans are great fans, but you got to give them a reason to come to the ballpark. And being 3-22 is not a good reason. There's other ways of spending your money. The Bengals are red hot right now. There's probably a lot of people buying Bengals season tickets and cashing in their Cincinnati Red tickets. I hate to say that, but that's the way fans are. Fans want to be entertained. They want to win. Every team is the same. Every city is the same.
Hey, Pete,
we're no different than Philadelphia. We're no different than St. Louis.
Pete, you talk about Mr. Castellini, and we're talking about Bob Castellini, the owner of the Reds. You've had a great relationship with him over the years. I mean, he's really welcomed you into Reds baseball and back to Reds baseball. And yeah. I know you've seen all the news coverage of, you know, that Bob should sell the team and that, you know, that someone else should come in and buy the team and all that. What do you make of that? Should Bob Castellini sell the team? I'm talking about your mind.
But first of all, I'm just speaking from myself now. I'm not speaking about anything I heard or anything I saw or anything like that. Okay. I don't think Mr. Castellini is making big time decisions with the Cincinnati Reds. He is the owner. He wants the team to do well. He's a rich man. He's done wonders for Cincinnati with the produce company over the years. I don't think he wants to sell the team. And I know if he sold the team, he'd probably make a stipulation that you can't move the team. Cincinnati's a great baseball city, but you have to give him a great product. He understands this. You know, I mean, he's went out on a limb and signed players to some big contracts over the years. You know, the Reds aren't losing because their inability to spend money. They've spent money in the past, and they'll spend money in the future. But you got to earn the money, okay? You got to earn the money. They didn't feel like signing Winkler. They didn't want to sign Suarez, Castellanos. They didn't want to sign him. I don't know why. I'm not running the team. You know, if I was running the team, I could give you a better, honest answer. Because I know the do's and the don'ts of the organization. They're developing young pitchers. They got a couple of rookie pitchers in the rotation right now. But the bottom line in sports is the players have to produce. It's not Bell's fault. It's not David Bell's fault. He's just the boss. You know, when I managed the Reds for all those years, I never thought that I sent the wrong pitch hitter up or brought the wrong pitcher in to put the fire out. It doesn't always work that way because you have to understand one thing about a manager. A manager is only as good as his players. If you got good players and they play mediocre, you're not going to win. If you got great players and they play good, you're not going to win. You need good players to play good. Mediocre players to meet mediocre, and great players to play great. And if you do that, you got a better chance of winning. It's not rocket science. Baseball is not rocket science, but everybody wants to make it so difficult.
Sure, it is the hardest sport.
Say it again.
It is the hardest sport in sports. I think. As a youth baseball coach, I think so.
It's the hardest sports to what?
Like to learn and all the nuances of the game. And like if you play football or you play basketball, if you're athletic and you can run, like you can be a decent, I think, football or basketball player. But like there's all these different nuances to baseball that are just,
here's the stat, young man. Here's the stat, okay?
I'm 46. I don't know, Pete. I'm not that young.
To my knowledge, is the only sport in the world, okay, where you fail out of 10 times and go to the Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
If Joe Burrow is completing 3 out of 10, he's not playing quarterback for the Bengals. Okay? If the coach at the Bearcats is only doing 30%, he's not coaching the Bearcats.
That's right. I mean, Ted Williams hitting 300, we celebrate.
The only way baseball is the hardest sport, okay? Not because you're bigger or stronger or faster or throw the ball harder. Everybody on every team has players that can do the job. They're called big league baseball players.
That's right.
Okay? And you have to do the job not one week out of the year, every week out of the year. And it's a long season. You play 162 games. And whoever wins the most games will go to the playoffs. And whoever wins the most games goes to World Series. And just like the other sports, you have one world champion every year.
Pete, I want to ask you this. Oh, go ahead. Go ahead. I mean, before we jump on to other topics, and I know you, Pete, I've interviewed you four times. This is my fourth time in my career to interview you, and you're a great storyteller, and we can get down talking all kinds of things. I want to make sure I ask you this. Put yourself in the position of a Cincinnati Reds player, a Cincinnati Reds manager, both of which you've been. And on opening day, basically the CEO of the team and Phil Castellini says, where are you going to go? And he basically criticizes the fans. And you have all this other thing swirling around. You have people wearing paper bags over their faces weren't saying sell the team, Bob. You as a manager or a player in your case, do you block that out or does that bother you?
No. Here's my philosophy on that. Okay, and it happens. If I'm managing the Reds and I get off to a 3-22 start, I'm going to wear a bag. Yeah. I'm going to wear a bag over my head because I'm embarrassed. Okay,
but I think
the sooner the players in that team understand what they're doing. Now we can't say it now because they won two in a row now. Okay, it's a long season. I'm not going to sit here and tell you they're going to win this division. Probably not. It's hard to overcome when you're 19 games under 500 the first month of the season. I don't ever remember a team, Cincinnati Red team, getting off to a 3-22 start.
That's because it's a record for worst starts in history.
I don't remember it.
That's right.
So that's really a setback. How would you like to be a player in that clubhouse?
That's what, Jason was asking.
It gets to the point as a player, and this is the point you never want to get to as a player. It happens to most teams in September when they've had bad years and the season's coming to an end.
Yep.
But not in April and May. You don't want to come to the clubhouse in April and May where it's a chore.
And feel like you don't have a chance at all.
Walk into clubhouse.
Yeah.
That's the last feeling you want as a member of the Cincinnati Reds is I don't want to go to the ballpark. And that doesn't happen very often.
You never had that feeling as a player.
Or so it may.
At this point in the season, in all of your career, you never had that feeling as a player at this point.
Not in April.
Yeah.
No.
Early May. Yeah.
A lot of teams have slow starts before. What do they say? You don't have to start playing until school gets out. And that's when the kids and the moms and the dads are coming to the ballpark. You can't give up in April, not with 28 games. No, you're playing 162 games.
So at 6-23, as we sit here on a Tuesday, delightful Tuesday evening, here in Cincinnati, and you're out west. Are the Cincinnati Reds, are they completely done at 6-23, or is there? Yeah, because no. It's a marathon. Is there still time?
No, they're not. No one is completely done. Okay, ask the Phillies in 1964. They had a 13 or 14 game lead with 18 to play, and they tied us for second. You never know in a game of baseball. But looking at the roster today, and I'm not trying to put anybody down because there are a lot of young players. Young players got to get time to get their feet on the ground. I don't see this group of guys. And I hope I'm wrong. I really hope I'm wrong. I don't see this group of guys putting any long winning streaks together. And that's what it's going to take to get back in.
That's right.
This race. That's the hole that you've dug for yourself. And it happens. It happens. You know, there's other teams that get off the bad starts, but not 3-23. I mean, would you say they're 5-23 now or 6-23?
6-23 is they're literally getting ready to first pitch as we record against the Brewers in game two of the series.
They're playing a good team that's in front in the division. So the next two games would be important games to win. You can't make all the make up all the ground in April, May, or June. You got July, August, September, and a week of October.
I mean,
so that's a long time.
I will say it is so Cincinnati of us to be like, it's a winning streak at two. Oh, Cincinnati fans, we can spin things in our favor like no other city. Like we've been there and we can be like, well, what about this? And what about that? And so there's
hope. What you have to try to do now is you just have to win series. You don't have to win nine in a row. You'd like to. If you're playing this team 2 out of 3, win 2 out of 3. If you're playing this team 3 out of 4, win 3 out of 4. Okay? Don't go 2-4 because you just wasted 4 days on the schedule. You have to start winning series. That's what the good teams do.
Because it's a marathon, Pete, as you know. Do you think
it's a marathon? It's not a sprint. It's a marathon.
But do you think that today's sports fan is in the social media world, we're in instant, you know, kind of this instant gratification world. And it's almost like there's a football mentality that has seeped over in baseball. And that, you know, football is what, 16, 17 games, and baseball is 162. But it's like we live and die on every single baseball game, and yet we have 162 of them. Is there more of that going on in sort of our sports culture today?
Well, first of all, you only got 81. And you got 81 on the road.
Well, yeah.
Okay, so you only get 81 home games.
Well, I meant overall, 162, yeah.
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
Yeah, I know you do.
Fans at Western Hills aren't worried about the Reds going to L.A. or going to San Francisco. They can't be there. They can watch on TV, listen on the radio. But they can go to the 81 home games. Okay, let me ask this question. Why does every opening day sell out? What is so good about opening day that it sells out every game? But then game two comes and you have 10,000. Where do those other 30,000 go after opening day when the Reds won?
I mean,
if they did win.
I guess I would have to say is I had an amazing opening day and it was super fun, just like it always is. And there was a lot of hope. And I have not been.
Tradition.
I have
it's
not been. It's tradition. I haven't been to a game since.
It's well, more of an event, old, Pete, than it is baseball.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we've had more opening days than any team in baseball. And what opening day does for Cincinnati fans, it reminds them of their moms, or their dads, or their grandpas, or grandmas, because they used to go to the games with them when they were kids. And now they're taking their kids. Baseball is such a tradition in Cincinnati, Ohio. And partly because I remember for umpteen years, Cincinnati Red baseball was the only game that day in America. It was the first game played in baseball in America. And it was always in Cincinnati. Because we were the first team in the history of baseball.
So actually, speaking of opening day, I have a question for you. So not only like it wasn't that first game, everything's delayed. It just this year was definitely felt off for sure. But I'm from Youngstown. So our listeners know this. And I grew up going to Cleveland Indian games. And I have to say it was very odd to see the team on the field be the Cleveland Guardians. What do you think of the new name?
Well, what about Miami University? It used to be the Redskins. Now they're the Red Hawks. You know, that's what society has come to. We can't offend the Indians anymore. So all the Redskins are no longer the Redskins. They're the Washington football team now. So Cleveland is not the only place where that happened. You know, I really don't care. Because if I'm going to watch Cleveland, I'm not going to watch the Guardians. I'm going to watch Cleveland.
That's true. Okay? Like the city. It is.
Right.
The city.
I don't worry about their nicknames. You know, what does Cincinnati Bearcats mean? Is there any Bearcats up here on the hill? I don't think so. Everybody's got
one
a
at the zoo.
There is one at the zoo. That is a good point. I was watching Cleveland. It's Cleveland.
Just surrounded by Indians, you're going to change it just because society is that way. That don't make any sense to me. Does it make any sense to you?
The way you're framing it, though, is we really are watching a city.
I didn't offend any Indian in my life. And I know they had a hard time back in the day, okay? And I wasn't there, so I can't speak for what happened. And I'm sorry it happened.
But baseball is very city. You're right. It was Cincinnati and Cleveland playing each other, two Ohio cities.
Yep. Just like New York has the Mets and they have the Yankees.
Pete, let me ask you this.
Chicago has the White Sox and has the Cubs. L.A. has the Angels and has the Dodgers.
Pete, let me ask you this. I know you saw what the Bengals did this season or this past season.
Wonderful year.
Yeah. You saw what the UC Bearcats did and kind of breaking that glass ceiling. And Luke Fickell was really taking that program to another height that it's never been to before.
I'm surprised he's able to stay there.
Me too.
I'm surprised he hadn't got, well, not that Cincinnati's on a big-time job. I think it is a college football, but a big-time job. He'll get one somewhere. And when he leaves, it's going to be because of financial, and that's going to be a setback for the University of Cincinnati Bearcats.
And I say that not trying to, again, you obviously you know the Reds and the Reds' history. And I'm not trying to put words in your mouth. I'm just asking you, we've known Cincinnati, and when you think about Pete Rose, you think about Cincinnati as a baseball town. But as we sit here today and think about Cincinnati, is it still a baseball town or is it a football town?
Well, right now the football team is playing better. But Cincinnati, because of the history, first game, 1869, first night game, 1935, you know, when they were the Red Stockings, Cincinnati will always be a baseball town. Sure, the Bengals are popular, and they should be. Joe Burrows is a great young quarterback. The team is a great young team. And they're going to get better and better. They're not going to, the Bengals aren't going to lose this upcoming year. They'll probably be right back in the Super Bowl. With a break here or there, they could have won the Super Bowl.
And you'll be rooting for them.
Sure I will. It's almost, I was happy that they lost. Let me explain that. I wasn't happy for the city, but sometimes when you're that good and that young and you win, it ruins you for the future.
Nah, they needed to win. I was at the game.
Yeah, I mean, now, because the Bengals participating in the Super Bowl, they probably can't wait to get back there. Whereas they're world champions, it takes a little luster off of worrying about getting back there because you got to the top of the mountain.
That's true. Goals are important. I do think that. And I mean, yes. When you read a lot about Joe Burrow and that drive to win, wanting to win, I'm like that matters, and that's still ahead here.
That's the way it was at LSU.
Yeah.
You don't go to Alabama or an LSU or a Georgia or somewhere like that and don't expect to win. Your coaches expect you to win. And he expects to win there with the Bengals. He's a great young quarterback. And I like to describe Joe this way. And you'll know what I mean. Joe Burrows is a winner. And you got to be an athlete to understand what that means. Joe Burrows is a winner. That don't mean he's going to win a Super Bowl every year. But that means he's going to be a force to reckon with, the way he approaches the game.
Do you think he's the next Tom Brady?
Well, I don't know. I don't want to put that kind of pressure on him.
Okay.
Although I will say this, at this stage of Joe's career, he's probably better than Tom Brady was at this stage of Tom Brady's career.
I actually
Tom Brady is a goat. Tom Brady's he's a goat. He's the GOAT. I mean, the Super Bowl was made for Tom Brady. I hope Joe can get there. However, no quarterback in the history of football has got where Tom Brady's gotten. So we're putting a lot of pressure on Joe Burrows to say he's as good as Tom Brady. Don't forget, Tom Brady led the league in a lot of things last year, and he's 43 years old.
Is there anything, as Joe Burrow sort of has taken this city by storm, obviously not a Cincinnati native like yourself, but not far away, you know, growing up in Athens, Ohio, Southeast Ohio.
Yeah.
Do you see him and watch how he's sort of taken control, you know, not just on the field, but off the field? Is there anything that reminds you of you in that way, and how he sort of captured the fans in this town?
Well, because when you watch Joe and you listen to him be interviewed, all he talks about is the fans and their support. And when players, superstar players, do that constantly, fans are going to jump aboard. And then he puts success along with the things he says. That's a double-edged sword that he's doing now. And, hey, when he got hurt, what did the Bengals do? There's not a team in football, you know, I think there's 30 of them, I might be wrong, 32, something like that. Every coach in the NFL would love to have Joe Burrows as his quarterback. That's some praise.
Yeah.
That's some praise. And why? It's because the way he plays, the knowledge of the game, the way he handles himself off the field, the way he handles the people, there's a lot of positives there. And let me tell you something I believe, and I wasn't there, so I can't really say this with 100% being the truth. He did the same damn thing at LSU.
Yeah, he did.
He made the team better. He made his teammates better. He made the community better. And he made the university better. So all those things he's doing for the Bengals now, just in a different city.
Pete, is there I know we're jumping around here, but just got to ask you, as we have you, we don't get to talk to you very much, but anything new on reinstatement? Any recent conversations with Major League Baseball?
There's not much new on that. Yeah. And, I don't worry about that. The commissioner's got a tough job. You know, it's tough to run these sports today, and he's occupied, and he's trying to do the best job he can, and he's doing a good job. And you know, they don't need to bother with me right now. My time will come one way or the other. And, as long as I can live and wait it out. You know, I'm 81 years old now. I don't act it. I don't sound like it.
No, you don't.
You don't.
It's crazy to think.
That's just the way it is. When you screw up, which I did, you got to wait till you can get unscrewed, if you know what I mean. And life goes on. But that don't prevent me from being a Cincinnati fan. Love the city of Cincinnati. I just have other businesses, other places where I have to be. I go back to Cincinnati quite often because it's my hometown, and it's always going to be my hometown. The Reds are always going to play on Pete Rose Way.
That's right. That's right. Do you think, you know, and I know you know the news because you talked to Bob Nightingale from USA Today recently about this. Do you think that, you know, Colorado Rockies all-star Charlie Blackman recently signing an endorsement deal with a sports book.
That's old. Listen.
Do you think that kind of eases things in for you?
Okay. Let me explain something. I'm not going to get into Charlie Blackman, who makes $28 million a year. And I don't know what his deal is. But hey, evidently he abided by the rules.
And I mean, Pete, like, I want to ask you sort of a different question about this. Does
that happening, the fact that the Reds themselves were a part of the lobbying effort to get sports gaming legalized in Ohio, do you think, like, the fact that it's not really a taboo thing anymore? And again, well, I understand your situation.
You might as well make it legal in Ohio, because all the
it is. It's going to be legal here in January 1st or after the turn of the year. What I'm asking you is that, do you think those things now that it's no longer a taboo thing, sports gaming, does that, do you think ultimately in the long run that it helps your cause?
Well, let me give you a phone number, and I'm going to give you Rob Manfred's phone number. And that's the guy to ask that question to. Okay? I'm not going to speak for the commissioner of baseball. All I'll tell Mr. Manfred is I love your game. I go around this country of ours daily trying to sell the game, trying to help you sell the game. And I'm not even in the game. But yet I still worry and concern myself about the game. I want to see baseball become more popular. Why is it popular in St. Louis, but not as popular in Cincinnati? Why is it popular in LA, but not as popular in San Francisco? Those are the questions I want to ask.
Yeah.
Because let me explain something to you. I learned a long time ago, when you go to Great American Ballpark, they have 43,000 seats. You know what those seats are for?
Well, me and my child, for sure.
They're for asses. That's why they're there. You don't put 43,000 seats in a stadium and want 8,000 or 9,000 people to come to the game. Why do some cities do it? Absolutely. Why do you sell out every game in St. Louis? Why do you sell out every game in L.A.? Why don't you sell out every game in Atlanta? Why don't you sell out every game in Philadelphia? Yankees sell out every game. Why? Because some people do it right, some people don't do it right. And if you don't do it right, that's the consequences. Lack of attendance. Does that make any sense?
It makes perfect sense. And, you told Bob Nightingale a few weeks ago that, you know, and quoting you, that baseball is pretty much in bed with gambling now. Does it? And you said, you went on to say that I was 30 years too early.
Because it's all about the bottom line. It's all about the bottom line. You know, we got a football stadium 3 blocks from my house called Allegiant Stadium, where the Raiders play.
Beautiful stadium.
Okay. Yes, it is. They have windows inside the stadium where you can bet on the games at halftime.
I mean, the way it's going to go
we're making money.
That's right. I mean, we're not going to do that, but you're going to be able to go in a bar at the banks.
Baseball are dummies. Hey, baseball are not dummies. And if they can do gaming here or gaming there in their own way, they're going to make more money. And if they can do that and they do it legally, which they do, more power to them. It has nothing to do with me. Okay? I'm glad they finally realize that there's a lot of gaming in this world that we live in today. You know, I live in the gaming capital of the world. I'm sitting here right now and I'm looking at MGM Grand. I'm looking at Aria and I'm looking at Caesars out of my window. And I'm on the fifth floor of my condo.
That is quite a view.
Huh?
That's quite a view.
It is quite a view.
And so,
and if baseball was to be part of the gaming world, hey, it's not for me to say yes or no. It's for Mr. Manfred. And believe me when I tell you, Mr. Manfred knows what's best for baseball. He knows what's best for the game of baseball.
Hi, Uncle Pete.
Is that Coco?
She said, hi, Uncle Pete.
Yeah.
That's Coco. That's my little girl. Sorry.
No, that's totally fine. I actually love that. We like surprise, like pop-in guests. Because
that's my agent, Swimming Pros. Her name is Coco.
That's how all of the COVID ones have gone. Like, we have guest appearances.
She got the most curls, curly hair of any little girl you ever seen in your life. And her dad don't have any hair. So now we know where those curls came from.
I do. We should let you go for sure.
I got one more question for you, Pete. Let's have some fun. Hey, we've asked you some tough questions, some fun stuff, but I got to ask you.
Let me ask you a question. Yeah, okay. Yes. We've been talking for maybe 30 minutes, so 40 minutes.
Sure.
Your eyes and your mind.
I knew you were going to say
what
this.
What tough question did you ask me?
Oh, probably, I don't know. I guess when we touch on gambling, but you've answered that stuff many, many times. So maybe.
Well, if you're gonna ask a question about gambling, who the hell knows more about gambling than me? That was the right question to ask.
This is true.
You know, don't ever do an interview with anybody. Anybody. That you're scared to ask them a question that they might be hesitant about answering. If you do that, you're a horseshit interviewer.
You know what?
Don't worry about questions you ask your guests.
Well, let me ask you.
Let me say really quick. I actually think this is great advice, and it is good advice for Jason and I. Jason and I are reporters, and anyone who sits near us or has been interviewed by us knows we will ask every tough question quick, rapid succession, and we will do our job as reporters. But as we have gotten our footing, like on taking these skills and doing it on a podcast, it's like polite society. You feel like people are listening. So you are offering us very good advice.
Here's something else you got to do. Okay. Whenever you have a celebrity on your show, and he may be a celebrity that had something in the past that happened to him, always understand one thing, that he knows more about that situation than anybody you're going to talk to. So make sure when you ask guys questions about their past, that you have knowledge of the answer that they're going to give you. Then you can have a good interview.
Which is exactly,
If you think you know the answer, then you don't know the answer. Because some questions are hard to ask some people. Okay? And some people like me will answer your question in an honest way. I don't give a damn what you ask me. If it's about me, I know more about than anybody else you're going to talk to. So I would rather have the opportunity to answer the question than let you answer the question the way you think I might have answered the question. Does that make any sense?
Makes perfect sense. And that's interesting you say that, Pete, because when some handler said, I can't ask you about the Charlie Blackman endorsement deal, I was kind of like, really?
Because I don't know a damn thing. He was right.
I'm just, more of the context of it. I'm like,
I don't know the ifs, ands, or buts, or do's about the Charlie Blackman.
No, I was more on the bigger picture of it. And we asked you about it, so never mind. But what my thought on that was that you're 81 years old and you're very, very seasoned. You've always been gracious with the media, always. I've interviewed you now. This is my fourth time interview you, and I can remember every single time because there was four posters I had on my wall as a kid, and that was Bernie Kosar, that was Larry Bird, that was Eric Davis, and that was Pete Rose. And so I remember when I've interviewed you, and this is now my fourth time. My first time was when it was the 20th or 30th anniversary of your 44 game hitting streak. The second time was at Western Hills Mall at the time, off Glenway. The third time was last summer when I called you up when Norbert Nadel died and you'd never talked about the judge who took your side in the gambling case. And now here we are the fourth time. And so I'm like, really? Really? I mean, Pete Rose, like, he's never shied away from a tough question, I don't think. Saying that. Go ahead.
If you shy away from a question, you're guilty.
Oh, true story.
And saying that, and saying all that, let's get, I want to ask you one fun question before you go. Okay. And because it's not about me, it's about you and your grandson, your son salutes you. Your grandson is a good football player at St. Xavier High. And you come back to Cincinnati quite a bit. Say it again.
Middle linebacker.
Exactly.
Yep.
Is there, you come back, you'll come back. We'll see you on the big screen, the Jumbotron, at Great American Ballpark sometimes. Obviously you're coming back for the Hard Rock event here, coming up in June.
Yeah,
June
11th. I think I'm going to the game on the 12th or the 10th.
Yeah. Yeah. And what I want to ask you was, is there every time you've lived in Las Vegas for all these years, is there absolutely one thing that you have to do every single time you come home to Cincinnati, the guy who grew up on the West Side, you know, playing ball off of, right along the river there. Is there one single thing you always do when you come home to Cincinnati?
I have to go get Montgomery and ribs.
Yeah.
And then the next day I'll get me some Gold Star.
Oh, gold! You're a Gold Star guy.
Just like everybody else. I know the traditions of Cincinnati. You know, I was good friends with Ted Gregory. That's the owner of Montgomery Inn.
Oh yeah, the Ribs King.
He was pretty smart. He went out and got a guy by the name of Bob Hope to do his commercials.
Oh, I didn't know that.
That's a pretty good endorsement, Bob Hope.
Yeah. Sure is. And we had Dean, his son, on the podcast back in the fall.
Yeah. Dean and Tom are the best. Tom are the best. And Vicky, throw her in there too, the sister.
Yep.
What do you get when you go there? You just get like the king slab?
No, I don't get a king. I get medium.
The hit king slab?
No, I can't eat that much. But what you get there is you get legitimate people. With your interests at heart.
Do you go to...
You know, my name is service done for your ribs. Can you imagine how many ribs the Gregories have served in their lifetime? Oh, my God. There's not enough cows in Texas.
Who's a better storyteller, you or Dean Gregory? You guys both... I could sit and listen for hours and hours just tell stories.
Yeah, but what Dean does, a lot of his stories are about me. So he's a better storyteller. because Dean's a bullshitter. That's why he hears it from everybody. And he don't forget a thing. Dean don't forget a thing. And Tom is better than Dean. You know, Tom's always out in Montgomery. Okay?
Yeah,
he's friends with all the basketball coaches because all the basketball teams. I'm talking about the universities. They always bring your players into Montgomery Inn for dinner. Don't tell the NCAA that though. We don't want them to get mad.
Oh my God! Okay.
Who cares? Pete, this
Huggins
is
used to live there. Bob Huggins used to live there.
Yes, he did.
Gail Catlett used to go there.
Former UC coach. Yes.
And it seems like all those guys, they go from the University of Cincinnati to the University of West Virginia.
I'll take the Bearcats any day over the Mountaineers. Pete, this has been great. I know you've given us more time than we asked for. And, I mean, goodness, like I said, we could sit here and talk to you for another 2 hours because I know you would do it. Because you're always like that. You're always willing to talk. You're always willing to tell stories and you're always willing to, you know, whatever question is asked of you on whatever topic, you're willing to answer it or give your take on it. But
sometimes it gets you in trouble, but most of the time, listen, I'm looking at the game right now. The Reds are winning 1-0.
It maybe is really a streak.
You look like you could throw a grenade in the seats and no one would get hurt. Mm-hmm. I hate to say that, but it don't look like many people at that game tonight.
Hence my parking spot.
Is it cold?
No, it's beautiful out.
It's 80 degrees out there and sunny and 75 to 80 and it's beautiful. And
Pete, we'll look forward to seeing you at the Hard Rock Casino on June 11th, Saturday. Huge weekend for the roast of Pete Rose. And as you said, you always get the last word. Pete, thanks so much for joining us.
And just a shout out, because all the guys at the Hard Rock are really good people. And I'm happy to be able to do the roast for them.
You're the best, Pete. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Take care.
You too.
Who knew I knew this much about sports? Is it because I went to the Super Bowl? Then you just like automatically, you all know, you just know all of the things. I was like asking questions I didn't know that I knew, like in my head. I think I'm an official Cincinnatian now.
I think we can all, and that was fun.
I have one of those hard questions for you, Jason Williams. Are you ready?
Yes, I'm always ready. Like Pete Rose, I'm ready for the tough questions. Yes.
Four posters on your wall.
Yes.
Are you lying? Did you have Farrah Fawcett on your wall?
No, I had no. I had all athletes. Again, let me repeat that to make sure I don't have anything written down, as Sherry and Silent Phil can vouch for. Bernie Kosar, Larry Bird, Eric Davis, Pete Rose.
I met Bernie Kosar once. I think that's a story for a different time. He's from my hometown. He went to my high school.
A kid of the 80s, like yourself.
Mm. Well, I was born in the 70s.
I was all sports all the time. I remember my first cassette. Yes, as we sit here at 46. Isn't it crazy to think Pete Rose is 81? What?
You know what? He really doesn't sound like it.
No.
Honestly, that was an interesting. He made that point himself, but it's so true.
It's so hard to think of that. But the first cassette I bought was Michael Jackson, the Beat It. Oh. I don't remember the name of the album.
Thriller,
yes. I still remember buying that.
I
bought it at Kmart.
This is why this is not videoed, because otherwise then we'd have to do the dance and like, okay, we're good. All right. Today's about
Pete. I loved Michael Jackson growing up, yes. But most of my sort of celebrity focus was more on the sports side, so yeah. And well, I guess while we're at it, what posters did you have on your wall?
Oh, Johnny Depp. And it has been, you know, quite the time.
Wait, like Johnny Depp in the 80s?
Yeah. 21 Jump Street.
Oh, yeah.
21 Jump Street, like kind of following along with the trial. It's like, wow, that was a long time ago. Speaking of aging, you know what is like, we'll just say real quick. Former guest of ours, Anjanette Levy.
Yeah.
You know, she's been covering this trial for the Crime and Law YouTube channel, and she's doing a great job. And so I've been following along, and it really has taken me back to those days when I loved Johnny Depp and he'd come on his screen and I'd scream like the teenager I was.
My goodness. That's interesting. Yeah. No, 21 Jump Street. That's right. You surprised me on that one. Mm-hmm. We did not talk about that before we started recording. So, yes, that was...
Or any time in our friendship.
Time in our friendship, which I just, as you helped me with, you know, kind of... I just hit my 10-year point at the Inquirer, so I've known you for 10 years, and I never knew that.
I forgot your anniversary present.
No, it's so funny.
It was a good column.
It's funny because... May 7th was 10 years, and the company sends me, you know, kind of one of those form emails. Congratulations on 10 year or whatever your work anniversary. So anyway, Sherry, do you have anything else to add?
No, we're good.
Is there a need for a Cincinnati moment?
No, the whole thing was one. The whole episode was one. One big, we talked about Montgomery Inn, like a lot of hit on a lot of things.
Gold Star.
The Western Hills Mall, you know.
The Reds,
Pete
Rose.
Yeah.
I think we're good.
Yep.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much for listening. Appreciate you listening to this podcast. Your support of it has been really appreciative. At Sharon Coolidge on Twitter, at J Williams Cincy, as always with a Y, not an I. Y. Silent Phil, who makes it all go on the ones and twos. Thanks so much. We'll catch you next week.